Oh, guys, as soon as that music hits, it is time to start talking Dynasty Fantasy Football. I am jazzed for episode 7. How about you guys?
Coming in like a prom date, hot and heavy.
I definitely have some fire to bring tonight, so I've been looking forward to this one for a few days now.
Oh, man. I said anytime where Ryan can bring the fire, we all have to be careful. And with that, welcome to episode 7 of the Rider Dynasty podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Michael Kloss. I'm joined by my co-hosts and fellow co-founders. It's Ryan Bickerstaff and JJ Wenner. You just heard from them. Guys, how's it going today?
I'm doing great. I had a fantastic day at school and am ready to bring it tonight.
Yeah, I'm sore all over. Started going back to the gym recently, and it's going about as well as it can.
It's the off-season workout program, man.
Off-season workout program.
For getting back into it.
Yeah. Swole's the goal. Swole's the goal, rather.
Well, JJ, can you tell us where everyone can find us?
Absolutely. You can find us at our website, rideordynasty.com. And we're on Twitter at rideordynasty. And all of our personal Twitter accounts are in the bio there. So give us a follow and connect with us online, Twitter or at our website.
Yeah, and we've been getting a lot of really good feedback on the podcast so far. So thank you for listening, and thank you for those that are leaving us reviews. We wanted to read just a little bit of one right now, and this one comes from Tommy. And Tommy says, "What do a veteran teacher and former sports reporter have in common? Fantasy football expertise." I like this guy. He's doing his research on us. He just kind of talks about how he listened to our podcast and read our tweets, and browsing the website caught him up to date on all things fantasy football related. And this is his review. He says he's thankful to have found Rider Dynasty and offers for everyone to subscribe to all of their content, and hopefully you'll dominate the competition. So Tommy, thank you so much for the kind words.
Thanks, Tommy. And the check is in the mail.
Yes. No people were paid in the making of, we promise, but that is incredibly nice. So, what do you say, guys? Let's get right to it. Let's get to our first segment. We call it Pick Six, as well we should. What we're going to do is we're going to pick our favorite six pack, and that consists of one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, and one tight end, based on what could be a realistic group of players that you could draft based on, you know, their current ADP, you know, give or take within a couple of spots. Ryan, actually, you used Sleeper, is that right?
Yes.
All right, great. So when the pod goes live, we will tweet out a poll, and you can tell us who do you think won our Pick Six segment. So, Ryan, let's start with you. Who is your favorite Sixer?
All right, so my favorite Sixer going into 2019 is quarterback Deshaun Watson, running back one, Kerryon Johnson.
Okay.
Running back two, Josh Jacobs.
Ooh, all right.
Wide receiver one, Davante Adams. Wide receiver two, Juju Smith-Schuster. And tight end, O.J. Howard.
And really, don't think that you're going to get away with us not going to either give you crap about it or challenge you a little bit. I know that's JJ's expertise in making sure that we're all on task here. Right, Teach?
A little bit. Where were you drafting from?
I drafted from the 10th pick of the first round.
Okay.
So my first pick was Davante Adams, and I think Devontae's body of work speaks for itself. He finally had his like real breakout season in 2018. He racked up almost 1400 receiving yards, 13 touchdowns, 111 receptions on 169 targets. He's 27, smack in the middle of his prime. He's Aaron Rodgers' undisputed go-to weapon. This pick was a no-brainer to me, sitting at 10. So, what was it? I think it would be like 2.03. I took Juju Smith-Schuster. Technically, Odell Beckham Jr. was still available, but I don't think he would be available in real life. I just – something tells me he wouldn't be available at, like, 15 overall.
I'm glad you showed, you know, the restraint, one, as a Baker Mayfield fan. But number two, you know, we're not just picking – we call it pick six here. We're not just loading up these rosters with the top-tier talent that that we think that we just want to add on our team so we can talk about them. It was really based on ADP.
Right. So I decided to go with Juju Smith-Schuster, who I have as my number five wide receiver in Dynasty this year. Technically, I have Julio Jones ranked above him at number four, but I mean, Juju's 22. He's coming off a 1,400-plus yard performance. I'm taking the potential of Juju Smith-Schuster, knowing that I'm going to have him for, you know, the foreseeable future, where he should. And, you know, it's without a doubt that Juju was helped by lining up across from Antonio Brown, but you don't make 111 catches for 1,400 yards if you're not an incredible talent. So I believe that Smith-Schuster can step into the wide receiver one role in Pittsburgh and just run with it. And I'm feeling pretty good about my first two picks. Now, this is where I think that things might get a little controversial, is at the end of the third round, I'm looking at Kerryon Johnson as my running back one. I actually have him down as my running back 11 in Dynasty. I thought that was, I don't know, I didn't think it was that bold until I saw that he was going as the running back 23 on Sleeper, and with an ADP around 41. I found myself asking this question. Would I rather have Nick Chubb or James Conner or Derrick Henry? No, I wouldn't.
Really?
What?
Yeah, that surprises me, because I think I'd rather have all three of them. I have a love-hate relationship with Derrick Henry, but I'll give you the opportunity to explain yourself.
And just for the record, I want this court reporter, I want this on the record. Which is the team you root for, Ryan?
I am a Lions fan.
I rest my case.
Yeah, but don't take anything away from that. If you can change my mind here, I'm willing to listen.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm also an Alabama fan, and Kerryon Johnson played for the hated Auburn Tigers. So Daryl Bevel is the new offensive coordinator in Detroit, and he's going to pound the rock, and that's his thing. Like, they've added the pieces. Their offensive line looks really good on paper. They added a great blocking tight end in TJ Hockenson. They're gonna look to be a run first team, and the main benefactor of that is going to be Kerryon Johnson. And you know that I love my running backs that can also catch the ball, and Kerryon also does that. 32 grabs in 2018 before he got hurt. I'm seeing some crazy stuff about Kerryon Johnson out there. You know, I read this article yesterday talking about him being a dark horse MVP candidate. I'm not going to go that far, but you know, he is a game changing talent at running back. He averaged 5.3 yards per carry before going down last year, and I think that the only reason he didn't come back at some point in the season is they just didn't want to risk him getting hurt, like, worse. It was a lost season. They shut down their young stud for the year. You're like, all right, take the off season. You know, come back next year ready to, you know, make this offense yours. And I see that kind of production from Kerryon this season.
You're also making a pretty substantial take with your RB2.
Josh Jacobs. And actually, I have him rated as my RB10. So the reason I picked Kerryon above Jacobs is just down to ADP. Jacobs is, I want to say, was around 46. Yeah, 45.9. So,
are you worried at all? And I mean, I say this as a Jacobs owner. Okay. I just completed a rookie draft where I was able to trade up to 102 and I, acquired Jacobs. The talent in that Raiders backfield, is, I would say, medium to weak at best, but there are several of them that have been on the field quite often. Does that worry you at all?
Not really. not with how talented Jacobs is. Like, honestly, I see an Alvin Kamara type player in Jacobs. I'm actually kind of predicting that kind of rookie season. I can easily see Jacobs running for like 800 to 900 yards and adding another 500 to 600 through the air. He's like that kind of player. And I don't think I'm completely crazy yet. I don't know. He's all the parallels with Kamara are there. They're about the same size. They're both highly athletic, powerful, elusive runners. They weren't known for their production in college, but you know, that means they enter the NFL fresh and ready to take on a large role. And that's – so I'm not really too concerned about Josh Jacobs. He's much faster than 4.6. I mean, he was dealing with, like, a groin injury at the combine, and he still ran a 4.6 40, which is insane to me. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about rolling with Josh Jacobs as my running back two. And all right, so these last two picks with Watson and Howard, they're a little bit past their ADPs, but like Watson, he's my QB3. He's my favorite quarterback from the class of 2017. I had him pegged as like a surefire franchise quarterback with Pro Bowl potential, but I was wrong about that because he can be so much better than that. Like, Watson has potential to be one of the great ones. And, you know, he had over 4,000 passing yards and 31 combined touchdowns. He added 551 with his legs, and that was while getting sacked 62 times. And the Texans improved their offensive line, I hope, given the draft capital they put into it. So, yeah, I see Watson as being a top five NFL quarterback for, you know, years to come. So I feel really comfortable getting Watson in the fifth round of a dynasty draft. It's just value. And then OJ Howard, he's my tight end number four. And this also might be a little bit of a stretch for him to be available in the sixth round, but I could see him falling a little bit. I've seen quite a bit of like OJ Howard skepticism, especially on Twitter. But the thing about Bruce Arians tight ends is, and that was one of the knocks I've seen against him, is like, oh, tight ends in Bruce Arians system. Bruce Arians tries to get his tight ends involved. He really does. Like I actually went back and looked at like the tight ends numbers, like during his tenure as a head coach in Arizona. And I mean, this is what he had to work with. All right. Rob Housler, Darren Fells, and Jermaine Gresham, who had been on a decline for like 2 years up to him landing in Arizona. He did not have a lot of talent to work with. But when he did have some talent, like Heath Miller had a good career, and Bruce Arians was his OC for a large part of it. And, you know, as the interim head coach, the OC and interim head coach in Indianapolis in 2012, Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener combined for 802 yards and 5 touchdowns. So I'm not too worried about a tight end in a Bruce Arians system. OJ Howard is freakishly athletic, and he was on pace for over 900 yards last year, and I see him getting to that this year, so long as he stays healthy.
I don't see the OJ Howard hype. I don't know about you, JJ, and I'd love to hear your take as well. The names that you just named and then the yardage that you kind of stated to us, I mean, 800 yards, I'd be happy with 800 yards from a tight end, but I just, for whatever reason, I just can't get behind OJ Howard just yet. I would love for you to be right here. I don't know what it is. I just can't believe it until I see it, I guess.
Yeah. I feel that there's too many other weapons there. And I just don't believe in OJ Howard. I think he's too good of a blocker. I think he's kept in a lot, to shore up a poor offensive line. But I don't see him as that high.
Well, JJ, why don't you get into your pick six here?
All right. So you two picked first. So I took the dreaded 1-1 spot. I hate drafting first. Always have, always will. But looking at what I got out of this, I'm very happy. So with the first overall pick, I went with Zeke. Whose current ADP is 2. You know, everybody loves Saquon. I get it. He had a very heavy workload last year. I mean, he saw every carry and every reception out of the backfield. And the team has gotten precipitously worse this year. So I can't see him being able to perform in the same way with absolutely no outside threat. You know, the best thing about picking first, though, is then I get that round 2 and 3 turn. Mm-hmm. And I was super excited when I started looking at the ADP there and saw who was available to me. So I took T.Y. Hilton, who's currently at 27 ADP. He's the number one receiver in one of the top offenses in the league. It's hard to argue with him as your number one receiver on a team. And I followed him up with Sony Michel, whose ADP is currently at 33. So I actually took him a little bit earlier than he is going. I thought in the playoffs, the Patriots really showed how they want to use Sony. You know, he had tons of carries, tons of receptions. Mm-hmm. And if healthy, he will easily outperform his ADP.
Yeah, that's the I guess the catch 22, if you will. Just kind of going on your last two picks, are you worried at all if these players are on your team about age and then health as well, respectively?
You know, I am, but you can only worry so much about that. You have to take talent when it falls to you. So yeah, Sony Michel might miss a game or two. Belichick is smart. He'll probably go a little bit slower earlier in the season and ramp up his usage as needed. But I still feel very strongly in Sony Michel. It was a dominant college back, and his first year didn't show anything different in the NFL.
I actually have a question about your Zeke pick. Are you concerned at all with a potential suspension for Ezekiel Elliott?
You can't draft Zeke without being concerned about a suspension.
That's so true.
That dude's a knucklehead. I don't think he's a very nice person. There's been a lot of reports of interactions with him where he's just not even friendly to people. But, you know, you can't pass up the workload.
He did just pay for that young man out of St. Louis that
security was, guard.
Yeah. Or that was, no, I think he was a younger kid that was shot outside somewhere. Cause Zeke's from St. Louis.
Okay.
So he, you know, again, I think that he's got a good heart, but when you're in the moment, you know, on the street or outside of any establishment and things start to get heated.
Dude needs to slow down on his drinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything you see, he always seems pretty visibly drunk when he's acting the fool, or shacked in the fool, if you watch the NBA channel. So I agree.
Don't go to Vegas if you're an NFL player. Stay out of Vegas.
Because what happens in Vegas doesn't stay there, guys. That's just a commercial.
Yeah,
it's just a commercial.
The Raiders are going to be an interesting experiment then.
We'll address that once it comes. I'm very afraid for that.
All right. So with my fourth round pick, after going Zeke, then T.Y., then Sony, I picked up D.J. Moore. His ADP right now is 53, but he's a young receiver with big upside. It's hard to find a receiver who has more upside right now, especially entering their second year, than DJ Moore does. I feel very strongly that with his speed and his hands, as long as Cam stays healthy, he's going to be catching over close to 100 balls and well over 1,000 yards.
I want to disagree with you there, but I love that.
I knew you would.
I'm a huge DJ Moore fan. I think the sky's the limit for the kid.
All right. So, you know, I think I then messed up a little bit because I skipped my fifth round pick. But you know what? It doesn't even matter because I drafted the best team here. I went with Russell Wilson as my QB, whose current ADP is 72. I normally wait. I'm a J.J. Zacharyson kind of guy. I wait on QB in single QB leagues. But how can you turn down Russell Wilson at 72?
You do it.
You say no?
At 72, you got to take him.
Yeah, you take him. You take him and you laugh all the way to the bank. He's been consistent. I mean, Brian Schottenheimer's trying his best to ruin him, but you know, we're going to try to keep Russell Wilson throwing the ball deep to DK and Tyler Lockett. And then I ended my draft with Jared Cook, whose current ADP is 78. Now, Jared has been all over the place with his seasons, and he's been full of promise and never quite fulfilling it. But he had a really strong 2018 on a poor Raiders team, and now he's on a Saints team who is desperate for another option besides Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. Drew Brees is throwing in the ball. And Ben Watson had an okay year at, I believe, 47 years old last season with Drew Brees. So I'm looking for big things out of Jared Cook this year, especially drafting him as the tight end, I believe, 7. All right, so although it's already a done deal that I've won this segment,
I guess
we still have to listen to Michael and what he has to say. So, Michael, what do you have for us?
Yeah, gee, thanks. Appreciate that. All right, so whereas you guys, picked at either end, I tried to kind of go in the middle, and I was a little bit, I went with the person that I wanted to get. I've seen Alvin Kamara go anywhere between 4 and 6, and again, with me kind of picking right smack dab in the middle, I wanted him, so I took him, and I'm pretending that he was there. Again, 1,600 yards in his first two seasons. Ryan, you like this type of player. I love this type of player. Not saying that you don't or my love is any more than yours, but 162 receptions and 22 touchdowns. I mean, what's not to like about the guy? He's a top 5 running back in Dynasty. Mark that down. Everyone's good with Alvin Kamara, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Coming back, I know for a fact I had, again, in a startup, I had the 1-1, and I know for a fact that Julio would come back to me, and I'm going to take him a little bit earlier. I think that I'm a little bit higher than most maybe on Julio. I'm not too worried about age, you know, going, you know, being a 30-year-old wide receiver. I am quite sure that he will have at least 3 years of elite seasons left. Not passable, not serviceable, elite. I think that the targets, you know, they've continued to increase in the past few years after that career 2015, you know, the over 200 targets. I told you about his production and what I think it's going to be. And I think that Matt Ryan truly depends on him, as evidenced by the targets. Julio Jones is easy. I'm going to go him over maybe some of the younger wide receivers, like even in Dynasty, just because I am happy with that production. And he's been turning it on in touchdowns late in the season the last 2 years. And that's, you know, when you need to win those games. Obviously, in fantasy, you need to win them all. At any point in time, there's not any less valuable in the beginning of the season, but Julio Jones, for me, is my second pick. As far as a third round, I cheated a little bit, and I'm just going to admit it right now, and that's fine, because I picked some players that I kind of skipped a little bit of ADP. I think that where I would have taken some people. I'm calling my third round pick Cooper Kupp. With an ADP of, you know, like around 40. He is, in my opinion, the number one wide receiver on the LA Rams. He's not a number three. He's masquerading as a number three. But when you're looking at the number one wide receiver on a top two offense, and you can't or you don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill at this point, especially of this recording, the most valuable person to me as a wide receiver. And I am a big fan, obviously, that you can hear of Cooper Kupp. Once he comes back, you know, when he was on the field, he had 40 receptions for 566 yards, 5 touchdowns. That was put him on pace to better his rookie campaign. When he caught, you know, obviously the 62 passes for 869 yards and 6 scores. I am very confident to say that Cooper Kupp, even as a short and intermediate pass catcher, that 1,100 yards, and I can't even predict touchdowns because they're so subjective, but I'm looking at Cooper Kupp to be that number one wide receiver on that team. So I'll let you kind of fill in the blanks on a touchdown number. I feel like 8 is safe. 8 maybe is a floor for Cooper Kupp. Go for it.
Yeah, I'd roll with 8. I actually really like that take. One thing that Cooper Kupp is, at the very least, the best wide receiver on that roster, as evidenced by how the Rams offense fell apart without him last year.
And yeah, not to mention, I'll get to give you a little spoiler alert of my last round pick. It's Jared Goff. So I'll get to it in a sec, but yeah, without Todd Gurley, or I guess not to say without him, but with just the understanding of that offense surrounding his knee. I know Daryl Henderson's there, but this is the year I think that Sean McVay really, you know, decides to lean more on the passing game than the running game, despite having several good backs, even if he rotates them. All right, so my fourth round pick would be more in line to where I think that you could get him, is Marlon Mack. He really killed inferior defenses last season. He had 5 touchdowns in 4 games when the coaching staff really committed to giving him double-digit carries. You know, there was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was the game against the Cowboys that you know, that the Colts came out and shut them out, and it was just so surprising because Dallas's defense was just on fire late in that season, and Mack looked like he could shoulder a load, and I still think that he can. From weeks 6 to 17, he was in the top 10 of ranked fantasy running backs in standard leagues. I'm not really quite sure what they're going to do, if they're going to sign someone else. I've heard rumors, of course, I'm saying rumors, of them signing a new back, maybe like a Jay Ajayi or something like that, but as of right now, at this recording again, I really like Marlon Mack at that spot. So that leaves me with a tight end and a quarterback to get, and you already know I'm taking Jared Goff last, where his ADP is around the mid-70s. So with this pick, I went Hunter Henry. And let me tell you, you know, 81 receptions for 1,057 yards is not world-beating, and you add that to his injury last year, and yes, he is a risky pick. The Chargers are a force. You know, they're a fun offense to watch. I still think at, 24 years old, he's a matchup nightmare. He can, beat defenders on short crossers and even like deeper sideline patterns. That's what Phillip Rivers, that's what he likes to throw too. And again, I think after the big three of tight ends, it's kind of a crapshoot. And you can tell me what you guys think about that. You know, Ingram's there. We talked about OJ Howard. I think Henry is in that same territory, and I would absolutely bet on him all day. So,
I like it.
Yeah. So if you guys wouldn't mind, unless you have anything to add else on my take, would you mind recapping your pick six?
All right. So my pick six was quarterback Deshaun Watson, RB1 Kerryon Johnson, RB2 Josh Jacobs, receiver 1 Davante Adams, receiver 2 Juju Smith-Schuster, and tight end OJ Howard.
All right, and I went with quarterback Russell Wilson, running back 1 Zeke, running back 2 Sony Michel, wide receiver 1 T.Y. Hilton, wide receiver 2 D.J. Moore, and finishing out my championship team, tight end 1 Jared the Cook.
We shall see. We'll put it to a poll. As I just went, I had Jared Goff at quarterback, Alvin Kamara as my RB1, Marlon Mack as my RB2, the legendary Julio Jones as my wide receiver 1, Cooper Kupp came in at wide receiver 2, and then my tight end was Hunter Henry. Like I said, we will put that to a poll. We'll put it up on Twitter. You tell us who you think won our inaugural pick six. So let's get to our main segment. We're going to tackle a few players we believe are overrated, underrated, and primed for a breakout. We each have one player per category that we're just itching to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'm about done with the rookie talk. But maybe that is just because I'm in the middle of 4 rookie drafts and have been analyzing the heck out of my board. Last night, I stared at my draft board for an hour trying to decide between Jawan Winfrey or O'Shane Zimenez. And I honestly, like, it was just driving me nuts because I was debating. So let's focus on startups. Some good ADP, and overrated players. So to start off, an overrated player that I will not be drafting this year. His ADP is currently 28, Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper last year finally showed what he could do once he joined the Cowboys, which was the exact same thing he did with the Raiders. He had 4 games with over 100 receiving yards last year. 2 were with the Raiders and 2 with the Cowboys. Now, in those 4 games, he was awesome. He averaged 29.5 fantasy points in a 0.5 PPR, which is amazing. But, Ryan, I'll ask you a question.
All right.
What do you think he averaged in his other 11 games?
I'm going to say something in the ballpark of like 30 yards, maybe 4 catches.
Yeah, he averaged 5.6 points per game.
Oof.
5.6.
Yeah, that hurts.
Average. Wow. I mean, I look for consistency in my wide receiver 1, and Amari isn't it. I'm not getting it. I'm going somewhere else. You guys can have him.
Ryan, let's hear your overrated player.
My overrated player is Damian Williams, running back for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I love Damian Williams.
I know you do, but I'm not sure why still. it's crazy. He's being taken as like the number 13 running back on Sleeper.
I'm not taking him as my 13 running back.
Exactly. I mean, it's crazy that people are. I mean, this is a guy, he's 27 years old. He has like 700 something career rushing yards. He's had chances to break out or to at least be a contributor. He hasn't. His career average up to landing in Kansas City, 3.6 yards per carry. 3.6 yards per carry. Are you kidding me? Like, the only reason this guy had the success that he did last year is because it was late in the season. Every team in the NFL was afraid of the Kansas City passing attack. They weren't game planning for him, I don't think. I mean, come on, this is a third string running back. He was an afterthought.
But
this is,
I will say, and this is such a poor argument right now, because all I want to say to you is, but an Andy Reid system running back.
All right. Damian Williams isn't even the most talented running back on that roster. So
how dare you?
So somebody named Williams is. But it ain't
oh,
Damian.
Dear God. Not your man crush again.
Booby Miles. Yeah, oh, he was nicknamed after Booby Miles, actually. Booby Williams. He is the most talented running back on that roster right now.
I disagree. Can I jump in here really quickly?
Yeah, have at it.
Like I said, I'm not taking, Damian Williams at that ADP that you mentioned, but gosh, he would have to be dethroned in my opinion after such a hot end to that season and proving that he can actually play. I think that most people feel the same way you do. I guess maybe that would defeat the part of being overrated, but I think a lot of smart dynasty players feel that same way and are waiting a little bit and taking him at the last possible opportunity.
Yeah, I'm not even doing that.
But from what I see on that player, and again, feel free to try to change my mind here, he'd have to be dethroned, and he's not going to be dethroned in minicamp or OTAs or training camp. He'd have to be dethroned in the season. So I still think that I'm still betting on him to start the season hot. It just depends on what price you're paying for him.
I love to see the love. Michael, who do you have as your overrated player?
Okay, this hurts me. I'm going to say that Leonard Fournette is overrated. I know a lot of people love him. I know it's easy to bag on him for injuries. Was it 439 yards and 5 touchdowns in 2018? In his rookie season, the Jags averaged more rushing yards per game in the games where Fournette missed than when he actually played. Gotcha, guys. We talked about the injury. 7 games last year due to injury, another from suspension. I am personally worried about hamstring issues, and I just really don't dig dudes with attitude problems. I think I'll stretch and I'll put that away for the right player, but I think what it really comes down for me is do I believe really that the addition of Nick Foles is going to completely transform an offensive unit that was ranked 27th in the NFL this past year? Like, will he take that pressure off Fournette so Fournette doesn't see as many stack boxes if he's even on the field? Would you pay a, third, fourth round price tag or more, maybe in a startup, to secure this player as your RB2? I'm saying no.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I'm not drafting him.
Me neither.
So then now, we do the overrated. Now that we've got all of our listeners really upset, let's lighten the mood a little bit and give them some little diamonds in the rough and go for some underrated players. JJ, start us off.
Nobody out there loves Sammy Watkins like I love Sammy Watkins.
Bromance.
I can't
that's
quit
a true
him.
Statement.
I can't quit him, and I don't want to. You can't make me. All right.
We won't. We Thank will you. Not.
I mean, he has averaged, only 10.3 points per game over his career. But for 60% of his career, he had quarterbacks such as Kyle Orton, EJ Manuel and Tyrod Taylor.
Mm.
Right. And he still has put up solid numbers. He has battled some injuries, but so did Julio. Julio battled the exact same injuries. And now we don't even talk about that with Julio anymore. Last year, the Chiefs lost over 170 targets. Where are they going to go? Mecole Hardman? Come on, man. They're not going to Mecole Hardman.
A lot of people believe in Mr. Hardman there.
Most people didn't even know that man's name before the draft. Get out of here.
That's the truth.
I told you, Patrick Mahomes is King Midas. You know, you get on that offense and people just, what's that Heath Ledger Joker? And they just lose their minds.
All right. So Sammy Watkins only had 519 yards last year.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Somebody's got to step up, and beat reporters have been saying that he looks fantastic on the field so far.
Okay.
I mean, Sammy has the talent. You know, and just to give you an idea, right, MFL right now has his ADP at 84, okay? But if you check the ADP of expert leagues, they have him at 48.
That's too high.
Look at the difference. Who do you trust? The people who do the research? The people who, like, are the experts in this league? That's where I'm going with. Sammy Watkins for life.
Life. That is perfect for this segment in an underrated category. I think that he's someone exactly that, a name that many people have banked on for a long time, and they've just waited and waited and waited. And looks like we're going with this year might be the year here. I'm going to go with, if you don't mind me jumping in here, I'm going to go with Tyler Lockett as my underrated player. 955 yards and 10 touchdowns last year, one more than the last three seasons combined. Now, no Doug Baldwin. Obviously, we added DK Metcalf, and David Moore is still there too. You could see that Lockett was becoming the go-to of Wilson, who I joked with you last segment about not loving, but I think that Lockett and the issue of the underratedness, I guess, is that even a word? I'm going with it.
It should be.
Is that, you know, that run first offense. And again, you're looking at some of those splits from last year with Lockett, where he was only catching like 2-3 balls a game, but he was insanely productive. He's the wide receiver in the neighborhood of about 33, 34, 35, and I just think that's too low. I know that he runs a full route tree. I know that he's fast. I know that the Seahawks made a commitment to him with that three-year extension last August. Sign me up, just because I'm looking for wide receivers in a play-action, like, passing game, right? And I think Lockett's going to take right over where Doug Baldwin, you know, left off. And because of his speed and, like, field stretching ability, might even be better.
Michael, I'm going to read you four numbers, and I want you to tell me what these numbers are. 69, 66, 71, and 70.
Mm. All right, you're putting me on the spot, and I'm going to be wrong, but you're talking about receptions in a season, right?
Those are his targets per year.
Okay.
Over his career.
I knew it.
So last year, with Doug Baldwin's injury, missing all those games, right? Or being hobbled for all those games. How much did Tyler Lockett's targets go up?
I think, honestly, that because of that run-first offense is, again, it opened it up. It showed that he's productive. And I think that he can only be better.
You know, I don't know, man. His catch percentage went up from the low 60s, like, for his first 3 years, to over 81.4 last year. That's hard to maintain.
He's going 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns.
You heard it here first.
Preach.
Yeah, I've got to make some kind of prediction here, because JJ, what you just said is perfect. And that's the reason I think that he's at the spot where he is. I don't know that like I said, kind of what I'm more translating it to, like a breakout itself, even though he's my underrated. I think that this is his year.
Oh, Tyler Lockett has a better yards per carry average than Damian Williams does. Just throwing that out there.
You're just going to hurt me with that the rest of this episode, aren't you?
He is. He's going to try to hurt you.
Good, good. I expect all of that. I put myself in that position.
Being the Damian Williams fan. All right,
Ryan. Unless you're still continuing to just rip on me, can you please give me your underrated player?
All right. My underrated player, I talked about him in my pick six. I'm going Kerryon Johnson here. He's, like I said, he's the number 23 running back going off the board. That's too low. He is a running back one when he's healthy. Again, Detroit's becoming a run-first team, and which is very exciting because as a tortured Lions fan, I've been waiting for them to establish a ground game for years now. When I say he's a running back one, I'm not telling you to go and like get him at the end of the first round, like grab him in the beginning of the second round, let him fall to you. But you know, like when you take Kerryon Johnson, just know that you're taking a running back one.
Now I have Kerryon on my team.
Okay.
Matt Patricia is the coach, correct?
He is.
He was putting Blunt on the field before Kerryon Johnson. Blunt left and he brought in CJ Anderson. Do we expect Patricia to stop that?
I expect Matt Patricia to hand over the keys to the offense to Bevel. I think Patricia wants to focus on defense. That's his forte. Matt Patricia is not an offensive minded guy. Him and LeGarrette Blount were like tight from, Blount's days in New England. I kind of get the feeling that like he was almost like giving his friend carries on the field with Blount last year. I expect Bevel to be the play caller to, call the shots on the offense. And I think that, he has a very talented young running back in Kerryon Johnson that he's going to, run till the wheels fall off.
All right. That's a solid take by Ryan. Michael, who is your breakout candidate?
All right. So before I say this and before you guys continue just to, just hand it to me here, let's define breakout. Because I know that we've all already made our picks, but these are players that we think, I hesitate to give like a yardage or touchdowns projected, but we think that these are players essentially that are going to become a major part of their team's offense. Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to go with my breakout as Cowboys wide receiver, Michael Gallup. Now, obviously we talked about Amari Cooper. Right, and if you're not super high on hanging with Mr. Cooper here, Gallup, it's interesting that I picked him because he kind of was also relatively quiet as a rookie. 33 catches, 507 yards, only a couple touchdowns. I love the fact that he flashed in the playoff game.
Yes,
that was six passes for 119 yards. No rookie receiver for the Cowboys has ever had more in a postseason game, which was, when I read that stat, that was a little hard for me to believe. I'm tentative because I know that the offense runs through Zeke, right? I'm going with this thought of that Cooper's going to see a lot of different coverages and defensive coordinators trying to take him away in the passing game plus Zeke away. So I just like the prospect of Gallup, and I really liked him at Colorado State, and he just put up crazy numbers. Cole Beasley is gone. I'm not too terribly scared about Randall Cobb, and the Cowboys did not draft a wide receiver in this class, so that also spoke volumes to me. I will say that over the last five games, I noticed that Gallup saw his snap share just hover around 80%. So he's on the field. He's making, you know, ready to make a statement. And if you look at kind of the first part of the season, and I'll kind of wrap this up here, he was around about 3.1 targets a game without Cooper, and that shot up to about 5.1 with Cooper. So I think, you know, a year in the system, being essentially a true number two, because like I said, I have no belief in Randall Cobb whatsoever other than a spot start as a last round pick and maybe a best ball draft. I would say that a breakout for him would be about 850 yards and 6+ touchdowns. And I think that that is, even me being a little conservative here with a breakout, I just think that's very possible.
You know, I have to agree with you. I've been working on projections as a little side project for this year. And right now I have Michael Gallup as the number two wide receiver on the Cowboys, getting over 100 targets and 4 touchdowns.
Awesome.
So I got your back.
All right. So JJ, who do you have as a breakout for 2019?
Well, continuing my trend of my man crush wide receivers, I am going with the one, the only, Robbie Anderson of the Jets, my beloved team. So during the last three games of last season, Darnold and Robbie finally began to hit on all cylinders. Like, they showed flashes earlier in the season, but those last three games, they were really starting to get a feeling for one each other. And during those games, Robbie posted 19 receptions for 260 yards and 2 TDs. Now, I know Gase is there now, but I think he is everything that the Dolphins had wanted Devontae Parker to be. He's a deep threat who is able to come down with the ball. I mean, if you watch him when there's a deep ball thrown to him, he has amazing ball skills. He knows how to go up and grab the ball despite the traffic. He is tiny. He's skinny. He looks like he would be broken in two. But that man is a solid NFL player, and I think we're going to see him break out this year.
I like it. Yeah, I've been waiting on the Robbie Anderson breakout for a couple of years now. He's one of those guys I knew of coming out of college that I was like, oh, he's going to be good. So it'll be nice to finally be vindicated in that. For my breakout, I went with DJ Moore. Because why not? He's the number 30 receiver on Sleeper.
That blows me away.
Which, yeah, it's crazy. Because I have him – I might be a little high on this, but I have him as my wide receiver 9. And, you know, I feel good about it. He had 960 total yards as a rookie, 788 receiving, 172 rushing. He didn't start until week 7. You know, we all knew that he was 21 at the time. We all knew that Moore needed about a year to develop in the NFL. So now he's had that full year. He's the unquestioned number one receiver in Carolina. I see big things for DJ Moore in the very near future. Juju Smith-Schuster, I kind of compare the situation a little bit. They had similar yardage totals as rookies. I could see that kind of jump for DJ Moore this year.
I'm right there with you. Okay. I'm not here to argue. I wonder if Cam is less than healthy. Are we still going to stick with that thought?
Are you kidding? Will Greer will step in and be everything that Cam has to be.
Yeah, Will Greer's the truth, though. Like, he's already one of the better backups in the NFL right now.
All right, that was a joke on my end. I think that is a serious concern. But, you know, if I'm not mistaken, DJ Moore was drafted on the initial winner of the pick six challenge earlier in this episode.
Yes, he was. And for the record, I was actually being serious about Will Grier. I really liked Will Grier as a college prospect entering the NFL this year. I believe he was my number three quarterback. But anyway, yeah, DJ Moore. I'm not saying he's going to have 1,400 receiving yards necessarily. I don't think he's going to match Juju Smith-Schuster's, but I can see like that level of jump for DJ Moore in year two. And I had Juju at 16 last year, and so that was way too low. So I'm not going to make that mistake again this year with my favorite second year receiver to have, you know, to just burst onto the scene. DJ Moore, he's breaking out this year. Write it down, mark it down.
All right, and we want people to write it down and mark it down. So we're going to just recap that really quick. JJ, start us off. Give us your overrated, your underrated, and your breakout once more.
Absolutely. My overrated was Amari Cooper. My underrated is Sammy the Truth Watkins. And my breakout player was Robbie the New Deal Anderson.
And then my overrated was Damian Williams. My underrated was Kerryon Johnson. And my breakout was DJ Moore.
And I was overrated with Leonard Fournette. Tyler Lockett, still underrated to me. And my breakout was Michael Gallup. So that's that for our overrated, underrated, and breakout. Let's get to our hot reads.
Oh, that's hot. That's hot.
All right, it's time for hot reads. Now, I got eight players here for you guys. And the question for them is, it's the same for all of them. It's, how do you feel about this player going into 2019?
Okay, I gotcha.
I'm ready.
All right, so we're going to kick this off with Josh Allen, quarterback, not the linebacker.
Josh Allen, I feel pretty good about this year. I think he's going to have a high rushing total. His overall numbers might take a little bit of a dip in per game, but I think he's going to be a solid fantasy option, especially in two quarterback or super flex leagues.
I'm wondering if that's what every defensive coordinator keys on, is the rushing, and just tries to stop that. I don't think that he's going to be exposed whatsoever because of his arm, but I'm in agreement that his numbers take a little bit of a dip. I still think that he's good and serviceable, but I don't think that we're looking at a top 10 quarterback or anything.
I got to agree with Michael on this one. All right, so we're going to move along then. This is a former starter, Ryan Tannehill of the Tennessee Titans.
Backup.
He's a backup.
Yeah, that's it. Backup.
I know that our very own Michael Kloss has a pretty hot take about.
Well, just because we discussed this with this earlier, and now we're doing it for the benefit of the podcast, I think that he's going to start more games than Marcus Mariota this year. Again, Mariota has not done anything to make, in my opinion, that offense what it should be. Derrick Henry is responsible for those late season surges. So Tannehill starting more games than Mariota.
And with Mariota, the risk of injury is always real. So Tannehill might be seeing the field, whether Mariota plays himself to the bench or gets injured.
That's what I'm banking on.
So moving along then to a running back who got injured preseason last year that a lot of people are very high on, Darius Geis for the Washington Redskins.
Michael, why don't you take this one first?
Okay, I want to ask a really quick question too. I had a guy in my Dynasty Superflex today tell me that he traded a late 2020 first round pick for Geis. And everyone in the league was just like, oh man, that is awesome. And I kind of said I would rather have the pick. I know that it's late. I just don't know. I'm so torn on Darius Geis. I haven't seen really anything that he can do. I really do need to see more, and I don't think that I would be I'm not selling him whatsoever if I owned him, but I don't think that I'm buying either unless the price was perfect.
Yeah, I have to agree. I wouldn't be buying him at that price right now, especially considering how good the running back class is next year. I'm not too high on him. I'm worried about the infection that he had. I need to see him on the field before I have any confidence.
Yeah, we reserve the right to change our minds once we actually see him out on the field.
We can go with that. All right, so this next player is one I believe can be Tariq Cohen 2.0. That's Nyheim Hines for the Indianapolis Colts.
I like Nyheim Hines a lot. I got him late in some rookie drafts last year. I think he's a great receiving back, and I'm looking forward to see his production take an uptick this year.
I'm an owner of Nyheim Hines. I agree with JJ in everything that he said. Doesn't bear repeating. I'm a tad worried about Paris Campbell taking those short passes away, because I know that's where he excels. So I'm going to say right around to where he was last year.
All right, that's fair. This is a player that's starting to pick up a little bit more steam lately. Kenyon Drake for the Miami Dolphins. Does he finally get a shot to be the number one lead back this year?
I think you have to watch out for Ballage coming up behind him. I think Drake is going to be surpassed by his backup
really?
This year, and he'll probably take more of a receiving back role.
What's the segment called again?
Hot takes.
Hot takes. Mm. Either way, Kenyon Drake, top 15 back next year.
What a dog. I love it.
Board.
I love it. That's a great take.
And it's risky.
It's risky, but it can happen.
I'm going with it.
I'll back you up on that.
Oh, dear God.
JJ is the voice of reason in this podcast, by the way.
He really is.
You better be listening to him.
All right, so Allen Robinson for the Chicago Bears. What do you guys think of him?
You know, Mr. Reception Perception had a great breakout year and has kind of faded. I think he's being a little bit overvalued. I like him, but I like any player at the right price. Right now, though, I can't buy him for what people are looking.
He's a number one wide receiver on that team, right? Or at least in name.
Yep.
At what point are we going to stop saying, Allen Robinson's so young, he's such a dynasty asset. You know, new team last year coming off that injury. I'm just not into it whatsoever. There's other people and players at that ADP to take that I trust so much more. He very well might have a good year. I'm telling everyone to stay away still.
Yeah, that's we actually, as a team here, have a 27.3 grade on Allen Robinson, which is pretty low. Like, we're a lot lower on him than a lot of other sites are. So Tyler Boyd then, he had a big year after AJ Green went down with an injury. What does he do this year?
Well, who else is on that team, right?
Yeah, it got me.
I mean, Mixa can't do everything. Andy Dalton can't really figure out if he's going to take the leap to the next level or not. You can't depend on AJ Green anymore, which is really sad, because I've just been a fan of him for a while. I just think out of necessity, he's the default option there in the passing game. So he should have a good year. It's interesting that you say, like, talk about Allen Robinson or Tyler Boyd. I would take Tyler Boyd.
Oof.
I know.
We both said oof. I don't disagree with you. You know, looking at that team, so the only wide receiver I like outside of A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, I have to say Stanley Morgan.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're looking at what? Josh Malone, Alex Erickson, John Ross.
Oh, no. John Ross.
No, thank you.
Moritz Boehringer, I think, is still on that team. I mean, there's some crazy guys on that team. Yeah, I think AJ is going to come back in a big way this year, of course, because he was injured last year and he does the every other. But yeah, I think Tyler Boyd is going to be a solid second wide receiver.
Well, that's going to do it for our Hot Reads segment. Again, if you like what you hear, we've got articles coming up at rideordynasty.com. And JJ, tell us where, obviously people are listening to us right now, but we're all over the place.
We are. You remember, you can listen to us on Podbean, our YouTube channel, Spotify, iTunes, or on our website, rideordynasty.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at @RiderDynasty.
Yeah, we really do encourage, you know, to interact with us, ask us questions. One of the main reasons why we are called Rider Dynasty is because we are your ride or die. I know that there's a lot of big podcasts and big names out there that, you know, I remember that feel when you'd reach out to somebody on Twitter, or even if you go a little bit older, you know, on Facebook or something, and somebody wrote you back. Reach out to us. There's three of us. We're going to try to answer your questions the best we can. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. We will read those 5-star reviews if you give them and show you a little bit of love. So guys, that was episode 7. Did you have a great time? Because I know I did.
I always have a great time doing these.
100%, buddy.
Well, we appreciate the listen, and we look forward to next episode. Have a great night, all.
Peace.
Catch you on the next one.